Soldier Field, 24-17. Bears trying to get their 10th win. Here's the boot up in the air. Going up for it. Allen Robinson, he's got it!
I want to see the Bears give him an opportunity to prove that he can do that.
He's got the ball at the 43-yard line.
When all the signs in the world were there.
I think that'll be a fade to black moment with Allen Robinson taking it out of the air.
That's what you're really hoping for, that they really contribute to the team each year and that you build a great base and foundation.
And these loyal fans have been rewarded for their loyalty.
It was awesome. We picked up right where we left off. It was fantastic.
And they have a Bears team to be proud of right now. Takes the snap, takes a knee, they head to the field. The Bears have won it!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of 34 to Glory. I'm your host, Tyler Flesh, joined by my father and co-host, Brian Flesh.
Hey there, Bear fans.
And we really need to work on that intro because it was pointed out to me earlier this week, and it's true, and it's funny, and it's ironic because it says, and they have a Bears team to be proud of.
Not so much anymore.
Apologies, America. That's all I have to say. For those who were not Bears fans, who probably will never hear this because this show's all about the Bears, that was the most disgraceful primetime performance I think I've ever seen in Bears history.
You know, there are people who are not even Bear fans. I know it's hard to believe, but there are a few people out there that are not. That we're watching last night's game and we're talking about what a painful, painful game it was. I mean, not a single touchdown. I mean, there's so much that went on with this game, I hardly know where to begin.
Let's begin at the beginning. Justin Fields looked amazing because, again, the plays are scripted. And then I was on the phone with you, and because I was in St. Louis, and we're sitting there and we're going over everything and talking about it. And then I said, well, let's see what happens when the plays aren't scripted. And you just saw disaster. I'd like to say a big fuck you to Troy Aikman. I can't stand his analysis. He is the perfect example of what the NFL wants. Just a straight-laced white guy who's always on the official sides. His just analysis of, like, the PI and the face mask, and we'll talk about all this. I'm just narrowing it down, and the reason I say this is because it goes into what I'm saying now. And what I'm saying now is he keeps making Justin Fields seem like the problem. He would not talk about, he barely touched on it. He touched on it one play. He said, you know, I mean, they kind of tried to disguise that smoke screen / bubble screen a little better, but, you know, they really didn't. No, listen to the words that are coming out of your mouth, Troy, you idiot. It's not the players, okay? It is the fucking coaching staff. And now, because of the coaching staff, we are in complete limbo. We don't know what to do with Justin Fields because he shows glimpses and it's like, is this the coach or is this his ceiling? And I'm confused. I'm just as confused as everyone else. But I just can't stand Troy Aikman. When he was saying all that shit and when Gordon's helmet gets broken in half, and
that
then
was ridiculous.
He gets flagged for a penalty for taking it off after a brilliant interception. I mean, we're going to get into all of it. Let's go back, rewind. I'm getting way ahead of myself. We got to talk about the bubble screen and the screen pass were just, it was out of control.
I get it. I mean, everyone knows that Minnesota blitzes the majority of times on defense. They're one of the biggest blitzing teams. And to a degree, I understand the thinking of trying to get the ball out quickly because of the blitz in terms of, you know, having their defense overloaded on our offense. But I tell you what, this bubble screen has not really successfully worked all year long. I think last night, if I recall, Tyler, did you know there were only four passes the entire game that Justin Fields made that were beyond the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, Joe Buck pointed out earlier he had 10 behind the line. That was a career high. And you can say whatever you want to say, but the clear game plan was Luke Getsy said they're going to blitz, they're going to go zero blitz on us. We talked about this the last time we played. We refuse to do slants. We refuse to do anything but the fucking smoke screen, the bubble screen, the whatever the fuck you want to call it screen, the wide receiver screen. It gets so bad when the tight end for the Vikings is jumping the route. And Field, that has nothing to do with Fields. Fields is taught once a ball's hiked, he literally grabs and throws. The fact that that guy's already on there just shows you the lack of discipline in this team. We are beyond flagged. Offense looked pathetic after the first drive. Again, our struggles in the red zone are insane. The fact we even won this game is unbelievable, and we'll talk about the repercussions of winning. I'll tell you what, I'm getting sick of Eberflus acting like he wins a fucking Super Bowl every time he wins one fucking game.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You know your buddy Frank Reich? He just got fired. Why don't you go fucking join him?
Yeah, no kidding. I wish he would join him. Excuse me. I'm so sorry, folks. Here's the thing. You know, I'm glad you mentioned Frank Reich because, I mean, in a way, Carolina is kind of on the opposite end of where the Bears are at if you kind of look at their owner in terms of they've had two coaches in 2 years. They've all been fired pretty much in the middle of the season. If you think about it, Carolina next year, Tyler, or this coming year, is going to be, and they're going to be paying three head coaches contracts at the same time, the new one and the previous two. So in some ways, they represent one side of the spectrum that I don't think you can fire your way into success in terms of coaching. But at the same time, the Bears represent the total other side of the spectrum that they simply wait way too long to do anything. What I like, the middle part that I really like, is take a page out of Pittsburgh, folks. They get rid of Matt Canada, their offensive coordinator, and what do? They actually start throwing the ball down the middle of the field, okay? They gain over 400 yards worth of offense after firing their offensive coordinator. So a lot of this has to do with coaching, not the players. Sure, the players got to make the plays happen, but come on. One of the best ways, this just blew my mind last night. One of the best ways to beat a blitz is to do some slant routes over the middle. My goodness, how many times have we seen really good teams? Philadelphia, San Francisco with Ayuk, with Debo, runs, even with McCaffrey, runs slant routes over the middle and beat the blitz and actually get a 70-yard score. All of that's completely gone. It's almost, we have bubble screens and running the ball.
But, you know, you bring up a more valid question that needs to be answered. Does everyone just think their jobs are safe? Why is every other coordinator, every other coach firing their coordinator is what I meant to say. But we are not. Why is this happening? Why is this a thing? You bring up Matt Canada. Well, what's his name? The Bills offensive coordinator got fired.
Right.
People are getting fired.
And guess what? The team
Jack Del Rio just got fired as a defensive coordinator. And he's not even the main problem. Like this is insanity to me.
Yeah. I mean, we really represent the extreme.
That was his first win in 9 division games in a season and a half.
So he's officially 7-22 now.
I mean,
come on, 7-22.
That's That's just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, and we're closing in on the end of the season. We're heading into week 13, for God's sakes. Week 12.
And also, I'm going to say it right now, just get rid of Ryan Poles. I'm tired of his shit. I tried to defend him, but, I mean, the fact that you're not even holding talks with Jalen Johnson after the performance he had, my God. And, you know, Troy Aikman's like, oh, he could have had a pick six, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, he could have.
He could have, okay? But you know what? He's a DB for a reason, Troy. I mean, my God. I mean, I can't stand... Like, I just cannot deal with Troy Aikman. I can't deal with Joe Buck. I just, the two of them, and they just love to be the most, we're on NFL's side. We love our paychecks. We say nothing controversial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's pretty much the company. You're hearing the company line anytime those two get together. I mean, that's all you're.
But it's not. And it's not even the company line, right?
Well, it's the NFL kind of company line.
No, but what? Like, no. Listen, hold on. Let me finish. It's not the company line in the aspect. I've heard Joe Buck say, "Oh, Fox doesn't let us be anybody." Well, you're not on Fox anymore, pal. Because that was Joe Buck's excuse for a long time, Dad. That's why I cut you off there, because he would sit here and say, Fox won't let me be me. Like, he'd go on podcasts and they're like, oh, Joe Buck, you're funny. Which he's not. Not funny. Annoying. He wasn't even funny on Brockmire. I can't do it. I just can't do it. When that pass interference and that holding call, and then Joe Buck goes, yeah, there it is. He's grabbing the arm. Joe, what? Joe, you going to say something? Troy? Are you just going to let Troy do this? I mean, the game was hard enough to watch. It's even harder listening to these two idiots ramble on.
Also, there were some really ticky-tack fouls, called. I mean,
but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, like, if you were an announcer, I'm sorry. I don't care how much I'm getting paid for. I'm going to speak my mind. Tony Romo's out here on CBS taking shots at Brandon Staley. You know, you can look up his quote if you want to. I don't have it on hand, but he took a big shot, and I don't want to paraphrase, he took a big shot at Brandon Staley. These two just, I mean, as plain Jane, like, I'm telling you, if those two people, they just look like two snitches. Like, they would rat you out for stealing a pack of gum. I mean, it's unbelievable. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
The game was hard enough to watch.
Oh, it was terrible to watch. Here's the deal. Our defense had probably one of the better games it's had. Straight away, right?
True. But the fact that, here's my problem with the defense. The defense can only play who they play. And I'm not trying to take away from the defense with what I'm about to say. But it's a backup quarterback, and it's this late in the season. To me, the players have already figured out that Eberflus is gone, and I think they're just playing to play. Because the move Jalen Johnson made, where he came off the receiver to fake that he was cutting into the in receiver and then back out.
Yeah.
You think that was taught? Because I don't. I think they're playing with freedom now.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. That was a brilliant play on Jalen Johnson's part. The wide receiver he was on was Addison.
But do you agree?
Oh yeah, yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely agree with that.
How did it take this long to get the scheme?
Yeah,
what I mean. Like, uh-huh. Seriously, we talked about Vic Fangio, and it took only like half a season. Guess what? Guess whose defense is rolling right now? The Dolphins. It doesn't take a year and a half.
It doesn't. It doesn't. You know, I think for me last night, literally watching the game, I mean, it's kind of like we won, but did we lose by winning? In some ways, did our draft position get maybe a little bit better, or be a little bit worse?
No, we only went down one. We went from fourth to fifth.
All right. So that's not too bad. For me, here's the deal. And for me, it really is down to one person alone. And that is, I don't know what Justin Fields' fate is going to be at the end of this year. And I'll tell you why.
Well, let's talk about this.
Yeah, because I really don't. Because the young man, he can throw that ball. He can throw a pretty ball. He can escape with his feet. He's got so much talent. Now, on occasion, it is a fair criticism to say of Fields that he struggles in three areas. One is completely seeing the field downstream. Sometimes he's got guys wide open, he ends up holding the ball too long, and he takes a sack. Two, he sometimes really, really, really struggles with just kind of a pocket presence. You know, who's around him, where he's at. I think that's fair. Now, also, the third part about this, though, is how much of that is coaching? How much is the type of plays they're calling impacting him?
But it's not just coaching. Let's talk about what happened in the game. Because this, to me, is not coaching. He overthrew and he fumbled twice.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And this is, I'm not a Fields apologist. I'm really not. This is what I'm going to say. This young man is trying to prove that he's going to be a starter in the NFL. He knows that his career with the Bears is either done or on the way out. He completely understands this. Okay? When you have that understanding, you could see a young man, in my opinion, who was frustrated to all get out with the offense and tried to take matters into his own hands, and by doing so, he overdid it, and it led to costly mistakes. Now, we did end up winning the game. Now, with all that being said, I can already hear some people, Tyler, you make a lot of excuses for Justin Fields, blah, 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 blah. I do, but I make it for every player on this entire team because that's how shit our coaching staff is. It has been the worst coaching staff I've ever seen in my life. It was the worst hire I've ever seen in my life. And with all that being said, I have come to terms with the reality. If we do get another quarterback, I'm on board, and I'm just going to have to get on board and move on because that's all we can do. Even if it is Caleb Williams, I'm not high on him, but if that's who we pick, then that's who I'm going to support, and that's who I'm going to have to back up. Now, he will be met with criticism like every player is on this podcast, but I still would like to go with the whole, you know, have your cake and eat it too. I don't understand the aspect of, you know, back in the day, like, this is what kills me about the NFL, and we talked about this earlier. Back in the day, you would bring in a rookie quarterback to sit behind a veteran.
For years.
Why can't you do that with a quarterback who's not any good? If that's what you believe. I'm not saying that about Fields. What I'm saying is, why not pick up Fields' fifth-year option and have a battle out? And then, what's the worst that happens? You put Fields on the bench, who is a number two, who could easily be a number two, and then probably be a number one later on. Like, I'm being dead serious. Yeah. I don't understand how that cannot work. I don't get it. Do you?
No, I think it absolutely could work. My biggest fear is that they're going to end up letting Fields go entirely. He's going to get on a team, and he's going to be a star. And we're going to sit there as Bear fans going, okay, guess what? We had him. We had him, and we didn't give him the opportunity because we had crap coaching. Absolutely no creativeness in play and offensive play calling whatsoever. Fields has made some mistakes. No one is saying he hasn't. The issue, though, is that I think the core skills that are needed to be successful in the NFL, Fields has those. He continues to display them. I think the other issues can be polished and taken care of with a better scheme that plays to his strengths. Because we're still really not playing to his strengths. I mean, Fields' best games are when he's rolling out. Fields' best games are not in the pocket. Okay? He can be a pocket passer, but that's not where his strengths lie. I think he's a really accurate passer on the run. And I think that's where his real strengths in the NFL lie. And I don't know why we don't use him more that way. But
well, you know why.
Well, Luke Getsy wants him to be a pocket passer,
no,
right?
I don't think Luke Getsy could have a Peyton Manning and run a good offense. He's that dog shit. So we do know why. He's horrible. Dad, it is the most, the fact that he goes, it's like he was playing fucking Madden. Oh, they're doing a zero all-out blitz. I'm going to keep throwing the screen till it works. How many times do you have to do something for until it works? Like, it didn't work.
No.
It's insanity.
I think the most yards we got on one of those wide receiver bubble screens was like, Moore took one for 10 or 12 yards.
Dad, I don't care if one would have went for 75 yards. To keep running it with that, the results that we had, like mix and up. My God.
Yeah.
The telegraphing the run, the only plays that were working, did you notice that were they were playground plays?
Mm-hmm.
They were when Herbert was out on the flat and ran his own wheel route. He stopped blocking and went a wheel route up the sideline and Fields hit him.
Yeah.
It was when DJ Moore got open at the end of the game, just ran right back into the middle of the field. And you saw the camera angle multiple times. What was it, 3rd and 27?
Right.
Every single fucking player. And again, not a knock on the players. Every single fucking player ran 7 yards on 3rd and 27.
Yeah. I saw that. It was...
We can't run 10 yards? Like, it is... It's so mind-boggling to me that they're going to do zero-out blitz with man coverage, and you're going to run checkdowns? You're not going to take a shot downfield? You're not going to stretch the field? They are so conservative.
I have a question. I don't remember, but did we take a single shot downfield?
No.
I mean, over 20 yards the whole evening?
That one play, with that was the longest play. It was 37 yards to DJ Moore at the end of the game. That was it. Yeah. Oh, what was that, though, Dad? That was a fucking playground play. I am so upset because the fact that we played that down, we were a better team than the Vikings. We should have crushed them. The fact that they hung in there after they turned the ball over so many times and we scored 3 points off 4 turnovers... Pathetic.
Yeah. It was absolutely pathetic in so many ways. You know, the one thing on offense that did surprise me, and I don't know if it surprised you, we haven't talked about it, is how much work Rashawn got.
He did good.
Yeah. I mean, he was running hard. I believe he was the number one back, if I recall, in terms of number of carries and opportunities. I think he passed Khalil Herbert last night.
It seems to be... but I don't want to... I'm not going to look too much into that. Herbert did that again for Montgomery last year. And Herbert's coming off an injury. I think it's just cool that we have a running back like that. But again, we're not going to have our running backs next year. Everything's going to be cleaned out. I mean, it's going to be... DJ Moore will stay because we traded for him. And he's actually good. But like... You're gonna see. I hate to say it, but you're gonna. It's gonna get revamped.
Yeah, I mean, people like Darnell Wright, they're sticking around, right?
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying like Mooney, the backfield. I mean, other than the offensive line and making some changes, like I bet Whitehair's gone. We need a center. Jenkins will probably stay, but he gets hurt a lot. But when he isn't, he's good. Darnell Wright is going to be an absolute stud. You know, and we'll see. But, I mean, look at all the other pieces. They're gone. You look at Fields, he's probably gone. You look at DJ Moore, he's going to stick around, but that's it. That DJ Moore and Darnell Wright and Jenkins are the only three certainties I have.
Yeah. So, basically, here's the best-case scenario. Let's say we do get Caleb in the first round. It's going to take him a year and a half, right, to get up to speed. I mean,
maybe not. No, I'd say he could get it right away.
Okay.
It all depends on who you get as a coach.
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing the same.
Even CJ Stroud, who's playing phenomenal, It took him, you know, what, about
Dad,
five,
it's his
six,
rookie year.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying it took him 5 to 6 games just to kind of get his footing when you started to see, but he's
not
now
really,
the real thing.
Not really. He was hot right off the rip. He has the longest streak for pass attempts without an interception in NFL history. Like his first so many games. I don't think he threw a pick till 6 games in. Like, that's remarkable.
Yeah. I guess I wasn't following that particular piece of it. I was just thinking that he really
started
to catch on fire.
But, Dad, the Texans weren't supposed to be good.
Yeah.
They're good because of him. Like,
oh, yeah.
He came out on fire.
Yeah, they are good because of him. Yeah.
No, but it goes down. I mean, you can say whatever you want to say, Dad, but the fact is that it's we have to get the coaching piece right.
Yeah.
If we don't get that piece right, it doesn't matter if we get Caleb Williams. It doesn't matter if we get Drake May. It doesn't even, and their stock is plummeting.
Yeah. No, I know it. I mean, if you're sitting there, Carolina, you took your quarterback over C.J. Stroud, and you've now got a shit show, and Houston's star is on the rise, and you got to be sitting there going, oh, my God, you know, what are we in for? I mean, we're in for some hard times, but I don't know if it's anything like Carolina is going to be in for.
I don't think Bryce Young's as bad as people make it out. I mean, look who you got him as a coach. Again, I'm done harping. Like, I'm not. I don't want to do this anymore because it all leads back to the coach. Coaching is such a big important aspect of this.
Well, it's huge.
That's not getting talked about enough. And I'm telling you, I don't think Bryce Young's that bad. I don't think, you know, Stroud could have a down year. I mean, for the first time in a long time, we're starting to see good players go places and not be good anymore. You know, you had Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not saying he was good. He was good. He wasn't great. But you had Deshaun Watson before his massage incident, who was a superstar and everyone was fiending for him. And he sucks. He's looked horrible. You had Russell Wilson come out and look like we were talking on here. Would we give up 4 first rounds for him to lock up the future? Now he's starting to turn it around as late, but yeah. I mean...
Yeah, 5 straight wins. Yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is for the first time in my lifetime, you're seeing superstars go to different teams and not getting results. You're seeing Josh Allen just struggle. He has now 9 games in a row with a turnover, with an interception. That is, you just can't have that.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, coaching. Everyone goes, what's wrong with we've talked about it on the show. Brian Daboll leaves. He has his best season with Brian Daboll. His best season's with Brian Daboll. Daboll leaves. Worst season. He's back to the old him. There's a correlation there. Why everyone doesn't want to talk about it and why everyone's not. That's what kills me about this mainstream media. It's like there's this narrative that they have to provide. I mean, I've already come to the conclusion, man, that Fields is gone. I think he's gone. I think there's no ifs, ands, buts are about it because they're not going to be smart about it. They're not going to draft a quarterback and keep him, which is stupid. Because he's not on a big contract. You haven't even picked up his 5th year yet. It drives me nuts because you look at the business aspect of everything and you look at how you would do things. And then you look at the stupidity and the money that these people get to just be dumbasses. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I would trust any one of our listeners or you and me to run that team better than what is being run now. And I don't even know our listeners, but I know they're not jackasses. And that's all we have in this front office. It is so irritating and just drives me nuts that every other franchise is making moves. Everyone else is firing coaches. Everyone else understands they're on the hot seat. Not Chicago. Everything's cool, calm, and collective in the Windy City. As our coach continues to go 1-9 against the NFC North, and 7-22 now in his career in a season and a half. 1.5 seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty sad. And it's getting worse. And you know,
but I would say we're at rock bottom. Winning a game by only kicking field goals and missing a field goal, I might add.
Well, also when we got four picks, I mean, come on. How does that even happen? I mean, and you don't score any touchdown off of four picks. That's never happened before, has it?
Also, can I ask you why the quarterback coach is always coming up talking to Justin Fields?
You know what? It's because I don't think Luke Getsy likes Fields. Because you never see Luke Getsy talking to Fields, ever. Never see it.
No.
Doesn't happen. You see a lot of other offensive coordinators talking to their quarterback.
Yeah, I really hope that Fields goes to a team and a position. If I were him, I'd take my time. I wouldn't go for the money. I wouldn't even go to be a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Go somewhere where you're going to get actually taught and coached to show Chicago how much we fucked up. Because we have not fucked up that pick. Okay, remember, the Patriots traded up to get Mac Jones. We traded up and got Justin Fields ahead of them. The quarterbacks coming out of that draft class are horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
Except, I would say, Trevor Lawrence is way above Justin Fields right now. But Justin Fields is second. He's not Mac Jones. Mac Jones is atrocious.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I will give Pace credit on that front. That was the biggest move we could do to get a quarterback that we needed. But with that being said, when you continue to go down the conservative, I want a guy who knows defense. And that's all we continue to do. And we continue to get burnt. And there's those reports out there that, you know, Kevin Warner is, right? Is it Warren?
Yeah, Warner, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. I can't even remember. I don't even care. There's just a rumor out there that he's going to get. Did we talk about this last time? I feel same shit.
We did a little bit.
I'm so frustrated watching that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think for both of us, it was just like icing on the cake. And I feel... I feel bad for our players, but I really feel the most bad for Justin Fields because I think pretty much I agree with you. I think pretty much his fate is sealed. Part of this league is a bit of a copycat league in terms of mistakes also. And I think everybody looks at the Daniel Jones taking the fifth year option with him like the Giants did. And what a disaster that was. And
that wasn't a fifth-year option. That was a whole new contract.
Was that a whole new contract? Because I thought
that's not a fifth-year. You don't pay over $100 million for a fifth-year option. He got a whole new contract.
So taking that whole new contract and then just, I mean, that thing kind of was Pearl Harbor, right? That got bombed to hell.
Yeah, and I know I talked about this on the podcast, but I said we missed out on Brian Daboll. But honestly, I don't think that Brian Daboll is a bad coach. He's in a bad position. I think him and the GM did a horrible move by re-signing Daniel Jones, and that's what sealed their fate. You have to find someone that you can trust, and he definitely was not it. You cannot, as a coach, as a person in the NFL, you cannot fall in love right away. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is you can't be an in-the-moment guy. You got to look at your whole body of work. And for some reason, the Bears are very much in-the-moment kind of people. Explain to me why it makes sense that we trade for Montez Sweat and then sign him to 4 years, $98 million, but we will not sign a guy who we drafted, who we believed in, who has been proven and proven time and time again to be one of our best defensive backs in Jalen Johnson, but we won't have contract negotiations with him. But is it because, we had to give up a second round pick for this guy, so now we have to sign him? Well, guess what, you dumb fucks? You didn't have to sign up anything for him because you drafted him. You didn't have to give anything away, and you still don't want to sign him. that cannot go well in the locker room.
No,
I mean, I'm sitting here at 36 years old, sitting to myself going, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of incentive does it give the rest of the guys on the team if he's not getting a contract? Like, I can play my ass off for this team and they don't care?
No, I mean, I guess it's just the continual thing of it's an audition for another team. That's all it is. I mean, they're going to play hard, but it's an audition for the other team, but you don't have chemistry. So instead of team morale and bonding and chemistry, you have, I'm going to do whatever I want to do to make myself look good. I don't care about the team. I'm not going to be here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, one of the stats last night, and I think it pretty much said it all. And when you're a bad team, and right now we are a bad team, you know, a few of the penalties were really ticky-tacky, and I thought just, you know, they could have just let those go, because you could about call those on some of those defensive holding calls were just ridiculous on us. But the bottom line is we're tied with the most. Actually, we're in first place with the most penalized team. And when you think of being the most penalized team, what do I think about? I think about discipline. And where does discipline come from? I think it comes from the head down. I think it comes from coaching. And we are not a well-coached team. We're not a well-disciplined team. Hell, Tyler, how in the first quarter do we not get plays in on time to fields? I was just shaking my head. I mean, come on, guys, we're three quarters through the NFL season, and you still can't get a play in on time? What the hell is that? And you could tell Fields was just getting extremely frustrated by it. He was trying not to show it, but you could just tell from his facial cues that, come on, man, let's get these plays going. It's almost mind numbing, and that's the piece that the GM has to be able to see. Man, your team's in shambles, buddy.
But also, like, good teams perform and make adjustments, and we don't.
Adjustments,
we get worse. We just continue to get worse. Like, this is insane that we're talking like this after a win, but it was worse than I think this was our worst game we've played all season, hands down.
Not on the defensive side of the ball.
But I mean, all around, I would say, other than defense.
Yeah, I mean, other than defense, it was.
I mean, you can't. I don't know, man. 12 points and a win. You're saying that's not our worst performance?
Well, on the offensive side of the ball, absolutely, it's our worst performance.
I think all the way around, bud. But. I mean, some of those picks were like the one hit Addison right in the face and went off. I mean, some of them were lucky. It was good defense, but like, I'm sorry, but the Vikings suck. Let's not forget that we both played each other. We were 1-4. They won on a little mini tear. They're not good. I'm tired. That's what I'm tired of. I'm tired of that the Bears' damn front office is feeding into all of us, like getting into all of our heads to make it go, but our defense played good. Fuck that. Mm-hmm. I don't care anymore. Yeah. I don't care about how well our defense played. You know what I mean? We continue to do that. Like, Eberflus, like, Fields gave a slight pump, and Eberflus was clapping his hands, dabbing everyone up. So, yeah, we did it, guys. What the fuck? He acts like a fucking deer in the headlights that doesn't know that the car is about to hit him. It's like he has no idea that he's about to get fired.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
He doesn't coach like it either. He coaches like we're going to the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, I mean he's conservative as if we're having a record of, like, you know, 10 wins and one loss.
You know what's
10 or 2.
You know what cracks me up though, that everyone only remembers reckless, so-called reckless people like Brandon Staley. They keep saying, oh, he goes for it too much. He goes for it too much. He goes for it too much. Okay. But let's see the other coin of that. Because the media only wants to do one coin. Go sit over here and look at Chicago. We have not been in close games. We've been getting the shit kicked out of us. And we've been playing the most conservative ball ever. The Chargers have been as not now. They haven't been winning, but their games have been close as shit.
They have had five games in which they've lost by only 3 points.
Okay, but it's probably because he's a more conservative one, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I don't think it matters as much as people think about it. If it's fourth down and I go for it and then you end up punting, did that hurt us at all? No.
Not that much.
No, not at all. In my opinion, not at all. I don't want to hear this about field position anymore, right? Unless you're on the 1 yard line or the five. If you're between the one and the five, 10 yards, you're good enough. To be in the NFL, you don't need, like, that's what kills me. They're like, yeah, but we got them backed up really deep.
Well, what gets me is field position doesn't mean much when you can throw one 30 yard play and field position changed.
But or just run your offense. This isn't like play design and players and motions and this isn't like the greatest show on turf where everything with Mike Martz was a 7 to 12 drop back where it took 5 seconds to release the ball. This is not that often. We keep living in the past, and by we, I don't mean the fans, I mean the commentators, the announcers. It's so annoying. Wipe them all out, get fresh blood in. I'd rather have guys who have no experience be on them. I'm dead serious. I can't take the just sheer lack of not wanting to point something out for what it is. And that's what's driving me nuts. Yeah. You know, Troy Aikman, oh, that was a hold. Troy, fuck you. If that was Troy playing, he'd be throwing a hissy. Actually, he probably wouldn't. He'd probably be like, darn. I mean, god dang, dude. I can't. I'm so upset about this whole game. And I don't care if I'm taking it out on announcers. Do better at your job. I just think, you know, for that kind of money, I could do a hell of a bet. Like, that's another thing. Troy doesn't break anything down. Like, does he even know how to play football? Like, I get everyone's like, well, Romo and them and blah, 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 blah. But you know what's funny is how, let's go back real quick, because now I'm on an announcer ripping one. They say they're not allowed to be themselves. That's weird. Because last time I checked, Joe Buck, the Manning cast is on the same network you're on.
Oh, well,
and
they
get to seem to be themselves quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. I love the Mannings because they are themselves.
They don't care.
Yeah.
They literally don't care.
Yeah.
Like, they had Marshawn Lynch dropping the F-bomb on there. They don't care. What are they going to do? Fire him? Okay. They don't need them. That's right. Why they're
like, a product in and of themselves.
Well, ESPN wanted them to do multiple shows, and they're like, no, we're going to have time with our families. Like, we're only doing certain games. They're like, well, we don't know about that. And then the Mannings were like, we don't have to do it. Like, when you hold the cards,
yeah,
you know, they're like, you know, fuck you. I don't need this. Like, yeah. Truth be told, I don't think Troy Aikman needs it either, but he's going to continue to talk like he does.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, and there's such a difference between Troy Aikman and Tony Romo. I really like how Romo breaks down the plays and kind of walks through things. I think he does a really, really, really good job. I think Troy is on the opposite end of the spectrum. Oh, I'm telling you, Ty, we're going into a bye this on week 13. We're going into a bye, and we've got a handful of games left. I think we're up against New Orleans. We're up against Cleveland. Then we
Lions, Browns, Cardinals, Falcons, Packers.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you for correcting that. Yeah. So
that does it for all the The primetime games, though, thank God we're out of that. I mean, the Bears and the Browns are supposed to be Sunday night. They've already flexed that. They just don't know with who yet. Hey, luckily, though, if we're being honest, and let's go into the other NFL talk here, but let's wrap up Bears talk here. We play the Lions again. We have the Lions at home. Is Jared Goff hurt? I don't know.
He doesn't seem right. I agree. I don't think he's hurt.
He looked hurt when we played him, though. When we hit him,
yeah,
he went down and grabbed his shoulder and winced.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of non-disclosed injuries, which I think the NFL, that's bullshit, by the way. If you want to get into the gambling business, NFL, you need to disclose. Like, I would have never bet on that Ravens game with Joe Burrow. Well, I bet on that game. I took the Bengals.
Yeah. And that he might have been pre-injured prior to the game, and they're not disclosing it. So, yeah, I think to wrap up kind of the Bears season, I really don't see us. I see us getting one win. I mean, I absolutely think that we can beat Arizona. I don't see any other win really out of that whole group. Do you?
No, but like, let's go back to that game. I'm not going to lie. I'm trying to look up stats while you're talking. What'd you say?
I basically just said, out of the rest of the games remaining,
Focus on the Lions game to wrap it up, because I'm just done with predicting the Bears this year. I can't. It's the hardest thing to do. So let's go game. Let's treat it like they do, game by game.
Okay.
I don't think we beat the Lions, even though we're home. I think the Lions still have a lot to play for, especially coming off a loss to Green Bay. Now, obviously, when that game takes place, they're going to play a game. I don't know who they play before then, but they got a game. We're coming down to the wire here. The Bears are about to be put out of their misery. I mean, it's going to be... I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think that they know... And I think the reason it's not going to be pretty is because the Lions know they got lucky. They know they got lucky when they beat us. And I think they're going to... The trap game already was supposed to happen. We were supposed to trap them in Detroit. We didn't pull off the trap.
Yeah, they're going to be ready.
They're
going to,
yeah.
So, yeah, I think weather certainly can play a factor. We all know that Goff is much better at home than he is at away. I mean, that's statistically, it's pretty much a proven. So I think it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. Do you? I mean, I know it's hard predicting the Bears, but even though Detroit has a lot to play for, I think we're going to probably be looking at some very cold/bad weather. I think Goff plays better in the dome than away. I think it's going to be close.
24-14.
I think it's even closer. 24-21.
I don't think it's going to be that close.
We'll see, man. We'll see. So that's kind of where
As far as the other games, if you want to talk about one more game that sticks out to me.
Nah, I'm
just
good.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Browns are going to kill us. That defense is way too good.
Yeah.
Although they got a lot of injuries, maybe not. I don't know. Again, there we go. I don't know. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to figure out the Bears all year. Like, oh, they should get blown out. Oh, it's close. Oh, we might have a chance to win. We get blown out.
I don't know. It'd be kind of fun if Joe Flacco starts for Cleveland against us. That's actually a real possibility. Joe Flacco's last game, Tyler? He threw 52 times. I think he threw 52 times, if I recall, and he basically had like 9 receptions out of 52 throws.
Wow.
I mean, it was just the guy throws the shit. He's like the Jameis Winston of the North. I mean, he just throws the ball all over hell.
I like Jameis Winston.
I do, too. Jameis is actually more on target than Flacco. I don't want him to play for my team,
but I love watching him play.
Yeah, he's fun.
Every time you throw the ball up, you don't know what it's going to be.
No.
It could either be a dime or it could be a dime going the other way. It's either a dime or a pick six.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the real quick, though. The Lions are at the Saints, so that's going to be a big get-right game for them. They'll be fine. Lions defense is suspect. I hope they get one playoff win. I really do. Speaking of the Lions, there's a documentary. I saw a little bit of it. I haven't watched it all. Barry Sanders.
I watched it all.
Okay.
Outstanding.
The stat that blew my mind. Now, you're already going to know the answer to this, but so I'll just, I won't form it as a question. I'll just say it. That in a 16-game season, he had 2,000 yards rushing. The first two games combined, for a total, he only had 52 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, he ran for 2,000 yards in 14 games.
That is absolutely correct.
And I had no idea about the injuries and that he saw two guys get paralyzed.
Yeah.
And that
one
was...
I watched that game. One was a linebacker by the name of Utley, I believe. Got paralyzed from the waist down. And so I think that had a profound effect on him.
Well, and then the other guy got hurt too.
Yeah.
Spine injury. So
what I really liked about the special, and I'm not going to go into it in depth, but what I really loved about Barry was how much he cared for the other guys on the team.
Right.
I mean, that really just stood out. And when they left, that hurt him.
Yeah.
You know,
what's it on?
It's on, I thought it was the NFL Network. No, it's on Prime. It's on
Is it on Prime?
It's okay. On Prime. Yeah. It's called Bye Bye Barry.
Yeah. On Prime. I'll have to check it out. Yeah. I've only seen some excerpts.
Yeah, it's outstanding. Watch the whole thing. They kind of go through kind of what was going on with the coaching at the time that he left, what was going on with the coaching prior to leaving.
Greatest running back of all time?
Oh my God. Absolutely right up there.
I would say yes. I know. I don't know how you don't.
The three greatest running backs of all time, in my opinion, are Barry Sanders, Jim Brown, and Walter Payton.
In that order?
Maybe Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, Walter Payton.
A little biased here, but I'd go Barry Sanders, Walter Payton, Jim Brown.
I know. I watched Jim Brown play, and wow, he was just something. I still have him right up there, man.
Barry would have crushed Walter Payton's record if he didn't leave early. He was on pace to shatter it.
Oh yeah, he absolutely.
And that wasn't a record to be sneezed at. I mean,
no.
Who knows when that's going to be broken with the league the way it is now? Honestly, I know Emmitt Smith holds the record, but look.
Emmitt Smith
was a great running back.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about it. But if you look at how many attempts it took him to break it and how many seasons, like, he played a lot longer than Walter Payton to get that record.
Yeah, he did. And by the way, Emmitt Smith had a wonderful quote in Bye Bye Barry when he heard the news about Barry Sanders had literally left the league. And I'm not going to go into the quote or say what it is.
All right,
I'm going to do a teaser.
Yeah.
But basically, he really talked about how he thought that he was going to break every record in the league. Emmitt Smith thought Barry Sanders was going to break every record in the league. He was on pace to do that.
Do you want to do a special review podcast on this?
Or? No. I haven't seen it yet, man.
So hold on.
Yeah.
I only saw a few things.
Yeah.
I heard it's amazing, though.
It is.
I heard it's great.
It is. It's a really good watch.
We're on by next week, but if you are a fan of the NFL, and I think that we all are, the game, there's no question to me, to you, to anyone, to everyone. The game of the week is the 49ers travel to Philadelphia.
That's going to be an awesome game. That's like a 4:25 game.
Yeah, Eastern time.
Eastern time. Yeah. You know, and believe me, hey, you know what? The other game that I think could be interesting is the Thursday night game, Dallas Seahawks game. Could be kind of an interesting one. Only if Geno's healthy. Is Geno healthy?
Not. He's in bad shape.
Okay,
man.
So if he's not healthy,
he's in horrible shape.
Yeah, if he's not healthy, it may really just be a rout.
I think it's going to be a rout.
Yeah, I love that game. I absolutely love that game in terms of Philadelphia, San Francisco, at Philly. Wow, it's going to be a slugfest between two giants.
There's some real stinkers though out there too.
Oh my God, there's going to be some really bad ones.
As far as everything else goes, a lot of people saying that Jordan Love might actually be good now. I'm not buying that at all.
He's matchup dependent is what it is. He's good when he's got a good matchup.
Yeah, we'll see. He plays the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, yeah, so that should be very interesting.
I know.
I got the Chiefs on that one.
By the way, did you hear the rumor about T. Higgins going around?
Mm-mm, no.
Rumor is that Kansas City Chiefs are interested in purchasing T. Higgins' services for next year.
That's next year. That doesn't matter. I'm serious. I'm so sick of next year rumors. Hey, can we talk about this? Do you feel like Aaron Rodgers has hijacked the Jets?
Oh, absolutely.
He has made everything. Do you know
it's all about him?
And I called it. Did you know he's planning on coming back? He's saying there's a rumor saying playoffs or not, because he wants to show people that he came back from the Achilles. I don't wish injury upon anyone, but I'm gonna laugh my ass off if he gets hurt. And he deserves it if he's going to be that stupid about it. Because it's not about the injury that I'm laughing about. It's about the stupidity of the player behind it. To think that he has done so many drugs, I feel like he feels like he's on another world. And he's like a deity.
Invincible.
Like a deity walking across the land. And we're graced with his presence. Like, he is so... You know, it's just funny because, like, he never wanted to talk about the vaccine or the virus or anything like that, and he didn't want to make it right? He didn't want to, he avoided the questions, and then all of a sudden it's like the COVID thing, everything dies down with talks, right? And then he sees all this attention that Travis Kelce's getting from Taylor Swift, and he goes, "Oh, Mr. Pfizer?" I'm like, dude, you just can't stop, can you?
He can't.
He has turned into the biggest look at me, Louie.
He's a narcissist, and narcissists just are really interested in one question: and how does this affect me? And that's why he's coming back. He wants to show people.
But also, look at all the players he brought with him to the Jets that suck.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Lazard was a healthy scratch this week. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Randall Cobb, Dalvin Cook. I know Dalvin Cook didn't play on his team, but, I mean, come on. He recruited Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
You know, and now there's all this talk about Devontae Adams. It's like, man, why not get the band back together that can't win anything?
Yeah.
Good luck. Also, we need to talk about this.
What's that?
That field's cursed, man.
Which field?
MetLife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you see that guy tore his Achilles, Stevenson, for the Dolphins on Friday night.
Oh shit! I didn't know that.
So in the past since what? Oh shit! I had this stat. I memorized it for this. Since 2016, in MetLife Stadium now, there's been 3 Achilles tears and 6 ACL tears.
Whoa.
Now, to be fair, that's double games because it's in the same, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Jets Stadium and the Giants, so they get 16 games a year there.
Right, right.
You know, because they're always
so,
it's
so more volume, more injuries. I get the correlation.
But still, that's a lot.
It is
6-3
seems pretty high even for.
Because remember, Odell, that's where Odell tore his.
Yeah, that's
pretty
right.
Sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure that's where it
but
was.
No, you could see the Achilles go again.
Oh, man.
Man, that's three. So Stevenson, Rodgers, and Cousins, all Achilles tears, all on artificial turf. Think it's time to bring back the grass.
You know, NFL, pay attention to this. I mean, I hate when NFL, the one thing I hate about the NFL is when they have this advertisement for AWS. And how it used to take them months and months to figure out good matchups and good games to televise. And now with AI, they can figure up the matchup within, you know, hours. Like, how about the matchups this year? We've had some real dog shows, man.
It's the NFL, man. Honestly, just pick a game. Like, pick the worst games and put them on prime time, and they're probably going to be the best.
I mean,
I'm not kidding. Like, because you never know what you're going to get with the NFL. That's a whole nother thing. Real quick, though, the best way I can describe to people who are probably asking, well, why is grass better than turf? Like, so Travis Kelce explained it, but I'm going to explain it a different way because I believe that this is makes more sense. Think about when you stop a car and it's wet outside. Your car is naturally going to slide, but it's going to have all that give, and it's going to slide to a halt. But it's going to slow down, but you're just going to slide. That's what grass is. That grass, you're just going to slide. And it's going to gradually slow you down to the point to where you're stopped. The problem with this artificial turf is what people are having is think about if you're a car and you're on the road and it's wet. But all of a sudden, it's like someone just grabs, like Superman just grabs your car to stop like by the tires.
You hit a dry patch.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, not like, just a dry patch. We're talking...
Right.
Glue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're in water and then you just hit glue. Well, your tire's going to stay, but your whole frame's going to go. And that's what's happening with the artificial turf is players are trying to slow down and there's no gradual stop. It's like, oh, I'm sliding and then yank.
Right.
And they're just getting yanked. And it's like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah, ligaments and joints and muscles are not made for that. They're made for gradual. They're made for... gradual startup and gradual, decline.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're not made for that kind of wear and tear.
No. Well, I'm glad that I think this is a good episode. I'm glad that, sorry if I start off a little hot. I was just, the amount of texts I got about how bad that game was kind of got to me. And I understand, but I just, the coaching and stuff and, we'll see. We have probably the most interesting offseason we've ever had as Chicago Bears.
Yeah, like coming up.
So, yeah. Every year we get lazy in the offseason. I'm not going to lie. This year we're going to have to stay on top of it, and we're going to figure something out. You know, if I need to take off or maybe I'm maybe asked to get a short run, maybe to be home in April on that Thursday night and then have Friday off or something. So maybe we can do like, I don't want to say stream, but you know what I mean? We'll figure something out. It's a ways away.
But we have to stay on top of the drama because it's going to be very, very drama.
I still think we need to do an episode or two during the playoffs. Maybe. I don't know. I know this is a Bears. We'll see. We'll see if people want it. Let us know. Shoot me a DM if you want to be on it. I mean, that's what we need to get back to. We need to find a time to get people to call in and stuff too and get that number up and working and figure out a better way, because it's like that number, like if I don't hit the app every 2 seconds, there's no voicemail. I thought it'd just continue to go to voicemail. There's some stuff we have to work on, but we're running out of room.
Yep, we are. So did we just
Oh my gosh, I thought it just ended the whole episode.
Okay.
We gotta go. Remember, it's always a good time when you
bear down.